This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
You plain talk. Every baby coming into the world comes into the world knowing something. How to ask for help. The baby knows how to ask for help. How to feed on food. The baby knows. The mother gives the baby milk, the baby knows how to swallow it. The mother doesn't have to say, let me teach this baby how to open his mouth and swallow my milk. The baby comes here knowing that. How to accept and how to reject people even. The baby comes here knowing that. One person will touch the baby and the baby will smile, or the baby will just accept it. Another person touches the baby, and not a bad person, but just another person touches the baby, recognize there's something here. I'm not interested in having close contact with this person. Right. Baby start crying. So babies come here knowing something. Standing upon his feet and walking after crawling. The baby accomplishes that. Such ability is born with the baby. It's in the baby when the baby is born. We say we taught the baby. You never say you taught a baby how to stand up. You encourage the baby to stand up. You don't teach a baby how to stand up. Standing up is the feet of the baby. The baby sees you standing, and the baby notices that. After so long, it feels it can try it. The baby will pull up on something and let it go slowly. And see, I've seen them stand and be trembling a little bit and grab it again. But after a while, that baby is standing and walking. Yes. I wish we could do that as a people. And if you watch little babies when they attempted that first time to stand up, I mean, it's exciting. And for that child, I think it's the first of the great accomplishments for the child's spirit. Or after that baby can stand and hold it and take a few steps and not fall, you see on the baby the look of achievement, the look of a great achievement. And that feeds that baby's faith in itself from then on. Allahu Akbar. Yes, God is greater. That's what that means. Allahu Akbar. God is greater. The Christians say that a lot. In fact, they were saying it so much on the radio once. God is greater. God. I just couldn't turn the radio. I just couldn't walk away from the radio. In fact, many times I listen to Christian programs and other religious programs, and I can't turn away from it because I identify with what they be talking about, what they be feeling good about. So day one, if you could imagine it, the day that the first person was on earth. Holy Scripture, sacred Scripture, we're talking about Judaism, mainly the related religions that we are related to, the religions that we are related to, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. These scriptures have the idea of first man in it, and all of them call that man Adam. And our holy book did not change the pronunciation of the name. Adam, same, Adam. Imagine being in that time and being that person, Adam. Also imagine feeling hungry. Now you're a big boy. You ain't crawling. You're not learning how to stand up. You've been walking around. But you're alone. Nobody else, just you. You're a big boy now. Now, what would you do? The world is there, all around you. And there is water, pure waters, nice waters, but you have to go walk a little bit to find them. There are trees with fruit and animals everywhere, all kinds of animals. Now, what would you do? Would you wait on a welfare check? One can't come because that time hasn't arrived. People are very much like this boy. I'm talking about a people like us. Free people. Free in America. With opportunities everywhere. Some of us are growing up, but the people's spirit is down.
Right.
Down like a baby.
Right.
Crawling over the ground. The people are being carried about by others as a community, having community needs. Grocery stores, restaurants, hotels, whatever. The people are being carried by others like a baby in a mother's arms. The idea of a single person alone in this great big earth, fruitful earth, productive earth, teaches us to listen to the better voice inside my body. But we have powerful things pulling our attention in all kinds of directions except the profitable and productive direction. Foolishness. Fun for the sake of fun. Ignorance. Self-destruction. Dancing ourselves into the mental hospital. Putting our attention on sex so much that our brains can't produce for us so we can be achieved people in the world. Just too much sex. The condition is so disappointing and hard to deal with that our professional people, our achievers, they go their own separate route. Usually move even out of the neighborhood. Move near non-blacks. Or in a neighborhood with non-blacks. And get away from the burden. That's not the right thing to do, but they do it. Malcolm X, may his soul be at rest. He used to criticize the African-American leaders in New York where he lived. He said, you say you represent the people, but you live in the man's neighborhood, not in this neighborhood. Well, I admired Malcolm for most of what he said and did, but I never really agreed with him all the time. Sometimes I disagree with him. And I wouldn't have made those persons feel uncomfortable to get their following over to the Nation of Islam. I wouldn't have done that. Because right away, but I see our people's condition and how hard you have to struggle to keep your sanity and your human decency living in some of these neighborhoods. I wouldn't bother. I'd just keep quiet. I wouldn't whisper that they weren't living in the neighborhood. Just keep quiet. Yes, so we are created to have born senses, born behavior. And then we are created to have the intelligence or born senses to make certain decisions. In our religion, also in the religion of the people of the book, we are told that though the human being is distinct in his own creation and nature, he's a unique creation, not another one like him.
Right.
But if he goes to sleep or loses his orientation, his pattern of behavior, in his own life and nature. He can be influenced by things living and dead to come out of his own behavioral nature. And he can fall lower than the animals that God made beneath him. He can fall lower than them in his thinking and in his behavior. If he separates from the social pattern that God created him to evolve upon, the human social pattern. Yes. So we have born behavior and we have learned behavior. God created us with the mind to think, eyes to see and question. Your eyes don't just see, your eyes also question. Yes. And your eyes make decisions. Right. Yes. Yes, your eyes as a ability to see is also the ability to be discriminate, to choose the better sight from the worst sight, to choose the more beautiful, appealing thing from the ugly, offensive thing, to choose the decent smelling thing from the vulgar smelling thing, etc. So all of these senses have this. In Islam, we're told that God established our religion upon five principles. The secular world tells us that man, intelligence, our human intelligence, is established and evolved upon five senses. Sense to see, sight, sense to hear, sense to taste, sense to smell, sense to feel. And they, the secular world scientists, tell us that nothing is accurately perceived or known without it coming through one of these five doors or five senses, one of the five senses. And they call it empiricism, that is perceived empirically, or empiricism. And we know that also that knowledge is intuition, power of intuition. Knowledge is intuit. Here's the secular world using intuitive knowledge for what we call the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit makes itself known on different levels. The highest level in our religion is the level of revelation, like Muhammad, the prophets received, the great prophets up to Muhammad the last. That's the highest level of communication through or by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Now, in this secular world, they recognize the power of intuition, but do they make a point of telling the students in their classes, the professors, do they make a point of telling the students that human being cannot control this? You cannot control it. Nobody can control it. Nobody knows when it's going to work for them and when it's not. So if it's completely out of your control, then you're depending on it, you're not controlling it. So a person with a common nature that haven't been made so complicated by the secular world in their thinking and their ability to think and judge and perceive what is rational and what is true, those persons that haven't been reformed, they're still in their nature that God created them in, they'll right away say, this is the presence of God. They're identified as the presence of God or the presence of a power superior to them. A higher authority, a higher power, a higher reality. Which eventually leads you to say God, right? Yes. It has long been known, now I guess since man has existed on this earth, that man has certain powers. to perceive and know things without his control. A man was telling me once, he said he wasn't born American born, he was foreign born, but that doesn't matter really. He said that one day, we were just sharing spiritual thoughts with one another. He said, one day I felt really terrible. Just all of a sudden I felt real terrible inside. And my mind told me to call my aunt. I had no way to call her. I didn't know where she was living at that. He said, finally, I was able to reach. It took me months before I was able to get contact with her. Say, and at that time, they told me that at that time, that she had passed. So there's a connection. There's a psychic connection, or soul connection, where close people who have close ties with each other, who have love for one another, yes, feelings for one another, yes, care for one another. Yes, something happened to that one, that other person, or that person loved by them. It can be registered on their soul, on their psyche. All right. Right. And we can't control it. Right. That's not our power. That's the power that God gave us. Muhammad the prophet calls it, says that God is like a landowner, and he permits others to use his land. All but one part of it, called the sanctuary, he doesn't permit them to use that part. He only uses that part. Well, this power that I'm talking about in us is this power to intuit knowledge, to get it power by knowledge by way of by power of intuition. This is sanctuary. This is God's sanctuary. And as I said, in Islam, we believe that activity in that reality is on different levels, small levels, but the highest level is the level experienced by the great prophets. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, the great prophets. Muhammad, the last, all of them. Now, we have it in the Quran, but first let me go to the Bible, because the Bible, I said, is a commentary and an extension on the teachings of the Bible. Jonah was called by God to do a job. And he didn't act as he should. He didn't act upon it readily. Right. He didn't give it the importance that it deserved. Right. So he ends up on a ship, right, sleeping on the cargo, yes, the commercial materials. Right. Imagine there was cotton in there. Cotton, maybe, yeah, probably some musical instruments, yeah. And some whiskey. Yeah, and maybe some lewd pictures of naked women and pretty women, naked women. And he was lying up there just asleep. And God had told him, go to Nineveh and warn them against their behavior. That's right. Go ahead. So, God caused the waters to become enraged. The winds blew and raised the waters, and the ship looked like it was going to go down. And the ship masters, they said, what's wrong here? What has happened here? I guess they were getting revelation on a lower level. Something was reaching their psyche. They said, let us search the boat. And they searched the boat, and they came upon Jonah. He was sleeping. And right away, they knew that he didn't belong on their ship. They said, let's throw him overboard. And they threw him overboard in the raging waters, and the ship was saved. But Jonah wasn't saved yet. Long come a big whale, a big fish. They don't say a whale, they say it's a big fish. So we, but by reason we say it's a whale, comes a big fish and swallows Jonah up. Jonah now is carried by a fish. He's in the belly of this fish. So he's not going to drown. He got, that fish got enough air in it for him. This is an air breather, big air breather too. The fish breathe air. I mean the whale, big whale, the big fish breathes air. Not water, air. So Jonah remembers. I guess that was bad enough time to make him recall something. So he remembered that he had been given a mission. And he felt sorry. And as soon as Jonah became conscious, the whale rushed to this to the land and puked him out. I said puked him out. The whale said, "What is this nasty thing I got in my stomach? How did I get this inferior food in my stomach?" So he puked it out on the land, on the seashore. Jonah said to himself after he got out there and stood up on the seashore, he said, "I got a 3-day journey." Now he's out there on the seashore. His life been kicked back to day one. They threw him out of their world. Threw him out there on the sand. So his life now is day one, starting of day one. So at 0 point of time, he say, "I got a 3-day journey." Now, how does our scripture identify this 3-day journey? God says, by the team, the fig. Was Zaytun and by the olive, was Tur Sinin and Mount Sinai, what had that belly did Lamin and this town secured. Surely man is created in the most excellent form, or mold. This is what God says. So this is a 3-day journey Jonah had. Jonah had to progress through generations, not one life, but through life continuously. Right. And isn't this how we have progressed in America?
Yes.
Not one generation,
yes,
but through life reproduction continuously.
Right.
And we are long ways advanced from where we were when we started, huh? But we are not doing, as a people, what the Nation of Islam founders, I said founders, my father's teacher and him, what the Nation of Islam founders planned for us.
Yes.
What is that? To not depend on outside community. Not depend on outside people, but depend on your own people for your future in this world. Let the world plan what it want to plan for whoever they want to plan for. But let us always have a plan of our own for carrying us in this world to where we want to go. Yes. See, but Jonah, God is showing us through a figure called Jonah,
yes, sir,
that this is not the work of one generation. This is the work of many generations. But you have to hold to it, like we held to our own independence from 1930 to 2005, May 29th. And we're not going to give it up. We're going to hold on to it until we deliver ourselves in that community life that is safe and secured. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. That's all I want to say to you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. W. Dean Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now, back to today's program.
Amen. Yes, next, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
Alaikum assalam.
As always, we thank Allah for you and pray Allah continued blessings.
Thank you.
My question is related to particularly young people up and coming who are about ready for marriage age. And could you maybe help to give us some clarification and direction when we talk about what is reasonable time for engagement? Because what is short or long, depending on perspective, whether the children are maybe still in school age and things like this and their circumstances. Could you kind of give us some insights on what they should consider, particularly those of school who are still like early 20s, late teens, for what is a reasonable time for engagement for those who propose marriage?
For marriage?
Yes.
Yes. Well, the teachings of our religion is that until your marriage, you abstain. You keep away from sexual involvement. That's first of all. We have to stand upon that until they are married, they should stay away from sexual involvement. But we are more like country people were in days gone by. Some of them may be still that way. Parents used to support youngsters getting married at an early age. Say if you have a son or daughter and they are very serious about them having a mate and they want to be married, but they're young, they're still in high school maybe. The better way is to have them married and the parents continue to support them. Let them continue to live with the parents until they finish school and have employment and can take care of themselves. That's the better way. That's the way of the country folks. That's the way of Islam. That's the way of the Prophet. That's his tradition too, to support these youngsters getting married and encourage them to prepare themselves for the future when they take on full responsibility, when they are to accept full responsibility for their life as grown-ups in marriage. That's what we would like to see, but we can't always do that. I'm attending a youth conference headed by young men and women of our association. It's in Washington, D.C. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. So I don't know if you are aware of these youth conferences that we have, but I'm certainly impressed with the young men and one of the female that was with them. I'm very much impressed with them that they have the interests of their peers, the young in our community, and they are addressing issues and encouraging action on the part of the youth that wants to strengthen their generation.
Be sure to join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.